Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for gathering here tonight. And, I'm sure I'm like a lot of folks tonight. And, I'm not special, but to start off the week this week, you know, I feel like 2 Peter 2:7 says, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." We've been going through some things here at my daughter's high school this week, and I know Brother Mickey's no stranger to the troubles and trials of our youth and in our schools. And, you know, it just seems like the whole world gets in places you wouldn't expect it to be. And God's people has to constantly be on guard. Good fathers, good godly fathers need to be on guard for their children. Ministers need to be standing on the watchtower. We need to be sounding the warning. And seems like, you know, that there's iniquity and things that vex our soul in the least expected places. And so when I started thinking about some of the things going on this week that have vexed my soul, I started thinking about compromise. Now, compromise, you know, is not always a bad thing. You know, certainly in my marriage, I have made compromises. Some compromises are out of love. I love my wife. You know, there's some compromises me and my wife make. You know, she washes the dishes, and I'll cook. She washes the dishes, and that's just a little thing. But there's a lot of bigger things probably compromise. But when it comes to God's people, there's some things we should not. We should not compromise. We should not compromise our hearts. We should not compromise that good work Lord Jesus Christ has done in our hearts. We should not compromise the grace that he showered down upon us. We shouldn't compromise the labors that we do. We shouldn't compromise to fit into this old world. We shouldn't seek to be friends with this old world. To be friends with this old world is to be enemies with God. I don't want to be enemies with my God. I want him to be like he called his apostles. I want to be his friend. I want to show him my love. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you love me," over in John 14, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ already showed us he loved us. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he showed without a doubt that was the greatest love that anyone could show his friend. "For no greater love hath this than any man, and lay down his life for his friends." What a blessing that is. And to compromise and trot underfoot that grace and that love that he showed us is a shame for the child of God. So with those thoughts in mind, I'd like to start probably in an odd place here, but I'd like to start in Exodus. If you'll turn your Bibles with me. Chapter 3 and verse 8, we'll find that God has appeared to Moses out of the fiery bush, the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. If we look down at verse 6, I want to get this before I go into my other thoughts that I have. In verse 6, chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 6, he says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry." Child of God, isn't it wonderful to know that when things vex our souls, when we feel oppressed in this old world, that we have a God that hears our cries. "And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." You know, that old devil will tell you sometimes that nobody knows what you're going through. And that might be true of our brothers and sisters. You know, I can't tell everything you're going through. We serve a Father that does. A Father that does and cares. "For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The point I want to make there is God here has promised, he has heard the cries of his people, and he has promised to deliver them. He says in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God has, under consideration throughout my thoughts, is I want you to consider that God is delivering his people. These are his people, my people, he says. Now, as we go on through Exodus, we turn to chapter 5. We'll find that Moses has come up to Pharaoh, him and Aaron, and we'll find that that they have told him that the Lord is to let his people go. And we'll find, I believe, that the Lord has already put down three plagues upon Egypt. He's put on he's turned the river into blood. He's sent frogs. And now he's sent a swarm of flies. In chapter 5 and verse 6, this is what Moses and God had told him that they needed to do. In verse 5, it says, in chapter 5 of Exodus, it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. So this is the commandment of God that he's given Moses. God has spoken to himself directly to Moses, and Moses had relayed this to Pharaoh. Let my people go, for they will, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. God has given a specific place where they're supposed to go, where they're to hold that feast. And he's concluded, my people, all my people. Verse 2, it says, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I tell you, child of God, it vexes my soul to live in over this old world still, where they mock my God and mock my Savior. It vexes my soul. And this week has been particularly hurtful, especially when you see it affect your children. That's not good for a preacher. That's definitely not good for daddy. I tell you what, that vexes our souls, doesn't it? Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Oh, this old Pharaoh. And you'll find later, as we read on, that you know, Lord has a way of dealing with the wicked. Lord has a way of dealing with the unjust. If we turn on over to Exodus 8, we're going to find that for a moment, at least anyway, Pharaoh has changed his tune. If we go to chapter 8 of Exodus 24 and 26, and this is after the flies come, in verse 24, chapter 8, it says, and the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' house, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Pharaoh called for Moses. Oh, Pharaoh believes I may have messed up. And for Aaron, and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now, that seems like Pharaoh's letting Moses and them go. He says, let them go in the land. But that's not where God told them that they should go have their feasts. See, this whole world will try to make you compromise what God has told you to do. God told him to go to the wilderness, but Pharaoh's offering him a compromise. See, that's what the world does. They offer you a compromise to get in the way of you serving your God. It says, and Pharaoh called for Moses for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. This is what Moses had to say. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. I tell you what, that's what we are to the world. That's what the world is to us, but that's what we are to the world, is an abomination. But they're an abomination to us too. And that's what Moses here is saying. Are we supposed to go sacrifice? They're talking about in the land of Egypt, in the presence of their enemies. Am I supposed to go have this feast to my God, a sacrifice to my God in the midst of my enemies? Am I supposed to do these things? Well, my God has told me to go to the wilderness. He said, it is not meet for me to do so. It's not right because God said it wasn't right. You can't compromise that. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? They weren't going to be safe to worship there. They needed to go to a place, a refuge, a place where God had told them to go, a hiding place. Will they not stone us? But this is what Moses said they needed to do. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice our Lord God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. See, compromises a little bit more. Okay, you can go, but just don't go that far away. Don't go to where you need to go. Just don't go that far away. Just stay a little close. A little bit of compromise is too much compromise when it comes to serving our God the way he's commanded us to serve. We go a little bit further. We'll find that Pharaoh hardened his heart and didn't let him go. And then we'll find that he sends the swarms of locusts and plagues the nation of Israel again. And we'll find that old Pharaoh has had another change of heart again. If we turn to Exodus chapter 10. Starting in verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? The Pharaoh wants to know who's going. Who's going with you, Moses and Aaron? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old. With our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. You desire to go, well, go. But just you men, leave your kids here. See, another compromise. God didn't say he would deliver just the men. God said he would deliver his people, my people, all my people, the young, the old, the sons, the daughters, and everything he's blessed them with. Flocks and herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and that ye were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. The world tries to, and this old Pharaoh tries to make them compromise again. But Moses said, not so. Because he was speaking what God had told him to speak. This is not Moses' job to compromise. This is God, and God will not compromise when it comes to delivering his people. He says, not so. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that hell had left. God would not compromise when it came to delivering his people. If we go a little further on, in Exodus 10. We go down to the 24th verse. After he sent the plague of locusts, old Pharaoh's walked back to what he said again. He wants to make another compromise. He says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, but let your little ones also go with you. So you can go, you can bring your little ones with you, but everything the Lord's blessed you with, keep that here. All the things the Lord's blessed you with, that needs to stay here. And Moses said, thou must give us all sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God, Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. There's no compromise when it comes to serving our God. All our heart, all our soul, all our being is to be in the service of God. We're not supposed to compromise one thing when it comes to serving our God. But God also here wouldn't compromise either. This is not so. It says in verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto them, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. And we know that after this, that the Lord put the final plague on Pharaoh, killed the firstborn, had the Passover. The Lord passed over and killed all the firstborn of Egypt. And Pharaoh then did and let his people go. But I want you to notice something here. Every time that Pharaoh tried to compromise to Moses, God did not compromise. See, when he made that promise that we read before, he said, my people, I will deliver my people. He didn't make any differentiation. It was the young, it was the old. It was all that they had blessed him with. Isn't it wonderful to know that when God delivers, he delivers fully without the loss of one. And when we read these things, we can just see the shadow of the deliverance to come. When God says, and Jesus says in John 6:39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I tell you what, our Father, who art in heaven, has been always victorious. He's never been defeated. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost one of his that he promised to deliver, and he never will. We have been preserved in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God that would not compromise when it came to delivering his people? Now, to a father like that, to a savior like that, shouldn't we be uncompromising when it comes to serving him? You know, when I think about this, and when I thought about how Moses just kept telling Pharaoh, no, we're going to take our cattle. We're going to take our little ones. We're going to go to where God told us to worship. You know why Moses couldn't compromise? Because that wasn't his people to compromise for. He was speaking on behalf of the Lord. I tell you, child of God, you need to know something about you. If we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you need to understand what you are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? I tell you, child of God, what you lend your members for, what you provide your services for, what you spend your time doing should be honoring to God, giving glory to God, uncompromising to God in his service. Because all the things we have, all the grace we have, we are not our own. We are his. And just as he's been uncompromising in our salvation, we should be uncompromising in our service. Because he's done so much for us through his grace and through his mercy. What a God we serve. I'm glad he was uncompromising. Lord, help us to be uncompromising. Help us to serve him in faith. Help us, Lord, help us to walk in faith and continue to keep his commandments. Help us to show that we love him by keeping his commandments. Help us to show we love one another by keeping his commandments and showing our love one to another, keeping us in grace and peace. I tell you, brethren, I tell you what, in weeks like this, where my soul has been vexed, it's wonderful to come here and gather with you and speak to you on things that are above this plane of existence, of things that are good, things that are right, things that are just, things that are wholesome, things that are good for my soul. I thank you for your good or attention this afternoon. I hope some of the words that I've said have found a lodging place in your heart.